This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to Health and Living with me, T. Shaoik. Yesterday was Rare Disease Day, and we are doing a two-part special feature to highlight voices from the community of people with rare diseases to hear about their lived challenges and what kind of support they need from society. In the first part yesterday, I heard from Jonah Michio Tan and his mother Yumi about an extremely rare condition called Hajdu-Cheney syndrome and how Jonah lives with the daily fear of breaking his bones. In the second part, I'm speaking to Jaden Lim. Jaden is no stranger to rare diseases. His 12-year-old brother Brandon was diagnosed with spinal muscular atrophy when he was just over a year old. But last year, Jaden himself was diagnosed with a growth hormone deficiency complicated by a tumor growing on his pituitary gland in his brain.
Yeah, hi, I'm Jaden and I'm 15 this year. And usually I like to make stuff out of cardboard or draw.
Okay, cool. I'm going to ask you a little bit more about that later on. But, you know, it is, we're talking about Rare Disease Day today. So maybe you'd like to share with us a little bit more about the condition that you've been diagnosed with recently.
So I've been diagnosed with two conditions, actually. I have growth hormone deficiency, which means I have a lack of growth hormones in my body. And I have a brain tumor next to my pituitary gland.
Okay, so what do you understand, you know, with those two conditions that you have? What have the doctors explained to you? What is it doing to your body?
Basically, the brain tumor is located next to the pituitary gland. We're not sure if because it's located there that it's limiting my growth hormones. But the main thing is it's located like really near my optic nerve. So if it grows too big, then it will basically like disconnect the nerve and I'll go blind. Yeah. And then with my growth hormone deficiency, I basically have a lack of the hormones that I need to grow. So obviously I'm like much smaller and shorter than everyone else.
Do you know what is the size of the tumor on the gland right now?
As of now, it's 0.3, which is in sort of like the safe size. If it's like 0.5 or above, then it's considered like unsafe. But when I first found out about it, it was at 0.9. So I couldn't take the growth hormone treatment. And then about 2021 November or like around there, I had an MRI and it was 1.1 cm. And then the most recent MRI, it shrunk to 0.3.
So for now, it's sort of still in the safe zone, but doctors have to keep an eye on it. Is that right?
Yeah, I have to do an MRI every 6 months.
Okay. But take us back to last year, you know. I mean, how did you and your parents even discover that these two conditions were going on?
I actually found out around August 2020. I was actually like a lot smaller than all my other friends. I've always actually been smaller, but we started noticing that I was really lacking behind compared to all my friends. So they took me to get it checked. Then the doctor did a test to see if I had growth hormone deficiency. And the test is basically I had to be admitted to a hospital and they sort of took samples of my blood for 2 hours. It's like 7 tubes, I think, of blood that they took out. They injected insulin into me, which lowered my blood levels. Insulin is the thing they give to the diabetic patients to keep their level low. So they gave it to me until my blood was at like the lowest point possible. And then they took the blood and tested how much growth hormones I had when it was like the lowest.
All right. But how did they find the tumor on the pituitary gland?
So after that, we found out I had growth hormone deficiency. So the treatment for that is you get a pen. It's sort of like those EpiPens that they use for peanut allergic people. So you jab it into your stomach and you inject the growth hormones in. But before you do that, you have to sort of go through a little test where they check if you have any growths or tumors in your head. because if you had one and it was too big, and if you took the growth hormones, it might accelerate the growth of it and something might happen. So before you take any treatment like that, they had to test if I had any. And I went for an MRI the same day then. And that's when they found out that I had a tumor.
How did you feel when you heard that news?
To be honest, I didn't really feel anything at that time. My reaction was sort of like, oh no. Like, my mom was crying, obviously. But the realizations sort of didn't hit yet. I didn't sort of understand it as much yet. So I was just like, oh, okay, but what does that mean?
At what point did it sink in then to you that, you know, this is what it means, this could be the consequences and all of that?
I guess when the doctor explained to me what the consequences were or what would happen or what was happening to me at that time, I sort of felt a bit overwhelmed a little bit, but it didn't really take a huge toll on me because in my mind, I was sort of like, I don't feel anything yet. I'm not really in any sort of pain. I don't really notice it. It's not in my control. So I sort of just learned to accept it, I guess, and just move on. It's like, yeah, that's how it is, but I can't do anything about it yet. So
You mentioned your mom cried. I mean, I can imagine it must have been really scary for her. How did both your parents take it?
So as you may know, my brother also has a rare disease. He has SMA. So for about a lot of his life, they've been fighting and advocating for him, getting medicine, getting treatment for him. And they were already sort of like working so hard on that. And then when the news came back and they realized, oh my God, my other son has it as well, or has another rare disease, they were sort of a bit like panicked a little bit, but they really tried to do as much research as they could and sort of get me the treatment or medicine that I needed.
You have explained your conditions really clearly to me. How did you sort of learn so much about it? And does knowing all the facts help you to deal with it?
Yeah, definitely knowing everything helps me deal with it because I sort of know what's happening to me and nothing sort of comes as like a sudden, oh no, what's happening now? But yeah, it's really helped me deal with it better.
So tell me about what's different for your life, daily life right now, you know, in order to treat the growth hormone deficiency. You talked about the EpiPen, right? So how many times do you have to do that? And what else has changed about your life?
So I've been taking quite a lot of medication for the tumor over like the past 2 years. Recently, I started on the growth hormone treatment where it's like you get this pen and a needle, you put it in and you have to jab it every night. So that's sort of a thing I have to do every night. There's, of course, vitamins that I need to take as well. In terms of social life, it hasn't really affected me like that bad. Of course, I've had some people sort of comment or ask like, oh, why are you so short or whatever? And I basically just explain it to them, but my friends have also been a big help because they don't really like make fun of me about it or anything. Yeah.
So you do that EpiPen thing yourself?
Yeah. The first 2 days, my mom and dad did it. And then I've been doing it for about a month and a half now, 2 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds scary to me.
Yeah.
But you're okay doing it?
Yeah. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes I don't feel anything. I don't know why it changes sometimes, but yeah.
So that's to treat the growth hormone deficiency. Do you have to do anything else apart from the MRI every 6 months for the brain tumor? Do you have to do anything else to manage the tumor?
To manage the tumor, I don't think you can really do anything about it. The most you can do is sort of check on it and see if it's growing, and if it's too big, then I have to stop the treatment. But the best thing is a lot of sleep, a lot of exercise, and a lot of eating. The sleep part, you have to sleep before 10, which is a bit annoying because all my friends are always up late and I can't be. The exercise part is my dad just nagging me a lot to exercise constantly.
What kind of exercise do you do then?
A lot of those YouTube videos help, but usually I do like skipping rope, swimming, tennis. I started tennis fairly recently. Yeah.
I'm speaking to Jaden Lim for the second part of our Rare Disease Day special. When we come back, perceptions, misconceptions, acceptance, equity, all things that are huge hurdles to children and others living with rare diseases. Stay tuned, we'll be right back on Health and Living, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Shao-Ik, in conjunction with Rare Disease Day yesterday. This is the second part of our special feature, and joining me today, Jaden Lim, who has been diagnosed with a growth hormone deficiency and a pituitary microadenoma. He also has a younger brother with spinal muscular atrophy, and Jaden is speaking to me today about how these rare conditions affect him, his brother, and his parents, as well as what kind of actions he would like to see from society to support them. Jaden, you mentioned that there have been people who make comments, right? Like, oh, why are you so short? That kind of thing. What else do you find people misunderstand about a condition like yours?
I guess not many people know about it. So the minute they see someone like smaller or shorter, they don't instantly go, oh, you have a rare disease and I'm not going to do anything about it. They usually like, oh, you should eat more or do more exercise because you're not growing. And that's sort of like a misconception, because obviously eating and more exercise does help you grow, but it's not always the case where people are smaller or shorter. Sometimes it could be genetics as well. My mom and dad aren't exactly tall either. So people usually just say like, oh, your parents are fairly small sized, so you're also small sized. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I guess not all diseases are visible, right? Where you don't necessarily have any visible signs or even disabilities, I suppose that makes it even more difficult for some people to accept or to understand that you actually are dealing with a condition, right?
Yeah.
You know, you've said that you do try to explain it to people. What kind of support or understanding would you want people to show to you to help you better manage the condition?
To be fair, I don't really like people sort of treat me like a charity case or something where it's like, oh, I'm sorry for you. I guess I just want to be treated like a normal person. Like, they don't sort of think about I have something wrong with me or there's something going on. I just want to, yeah, be treated like a normal person as they would.
Mm. But at the same time, do you think it's important for people, especially outside your family and friends, other people to know that such a condition exists and to understand more about it?
Yeah, obviously there has to be a lot more awareness about it, so people sort of don't, I guess, talk about it wrongly, because some people may be more sensitive about it. Whereas I'm not as sensitive about it, so it doesn't affect me as much. But there needs to be more awareness so people can do more things to help people like me, where it's like medicine, treatment, or care.
And what about for your younger brother, Brandon? As you said, he was diagnosed with SMA, spinal muscular atrophy, when he was very young, right? If you could help us understand what challenges does he experience in terms of his daily living or what he can or can't do?
So since I've basically been living with him with SMA for like almost 90% of my life, it's sort of become like the norm for me and my family. But obviously there are like many things that he's missing out on, where it's like school. And he can't go to school. He doesn't have as many friends as other people. He doesn't have like that sort of social life. He doesn't have the proper education. He can't do normal things like sports. He can't go out and play. Yeah.
I guess being able to go to school, being able to go out and play with friends is something the rest of us take for granted. So I guess, what did Brandon's challenges make you realize about how not everything is equal for all children, right? Not every child gets to do what they want. And in what way do you wish that things could be fairer for kids like yourself and Brandon?
So the first and main thing is access to medicine, where since so many of the rare diseases are, as the name suggests, like really rare, almost nobody knows about it except the family or the people they're close to. And they need access to treatment so it can be treated. But since nobody really knows about it, there has to be more awareness so people can sort of make noise or help or get the government to do something. And it's not really fair for like Brandon, where because my medicine is so accessible. My mom can literally go to a pharmacy and get it ordered. But Brandon's medicine is so hard to get. My parents have been advocating and fighting for it for 5+ over years, almost since Brandon was young or the medicine existed. They've been fighting to get it into Malaysia, and even to this day, it's still not accessible in Malaysia. The only reason Brandon has it is because he goes through a special program.
And how does this medicine help Brandon?
So spinal muscular atrophy affects the neurons in their... Our neurons basically have a thing that protects them from dying really fast, but Brandon is missing that. So a lot of his neurons are dying or wilting too fast. So a lot of the signals from his brain going to a lot of the muscles or the other functions, it's not reaching there. It's like if he wants to move his leg, he can't like just move it. It's sort of like maybe nudges or something a bit. So the medicine sort of helps add that protection to it and stops them from dying.
And a lot of other kids with SMA in Malaysia don't have access to this medicine, right?
Yeah, I think there's only like a handful of them in the entire of Malaysia.
And so you said that's the main thing. Obviously, that's number one in terms of challenges faced by children, not just SMA, right? So many rare diseases where access to medicine, to treatment is so low. What are some other things that, you know, that you'd like people to know about? This is the reality of living with a rare disease. This is how difficult life can be for us.
It's sort of the whole struggle of trying to help them. And in the sort of process of trying to do all that, you sort of miss a lot of opportunities to do other things because we're just like so kept on trying to help them, trying to keep them healthy. And just a lot of Brandon's life is sort of missing because he can't do all these things. And society sort of needs to be a bit more accepting towards them because a lot of schools sort of, I sort of understand why, but a lot of the schools don't accept him into it because they find it too challenging to try and take care and educate him. So even now, he still isn't in school.
If Brandon were able to go to school, how do you think he'd do?
He'd sure enjoy it a lot more than being stuck at home all day, not basically not having any contact or access to friends or whatever, because he's just stuck at home. The only sort of people he gets to talk to are like a few of his friends that he calls to play, and my parents and me and my grandma.
So many things that are denied to Brandon, you're right. Jaden, can we turn now to something you mentioned earlier? Would you like to tell us about your hobby of making things out of cardboard?
So I started this like 1 or 2 years ago, I think, around during lockdown. I was just really bored and I decided to start making something or find a hobby during the whole lockdown. So I got into this whole cardboard crafting where I would make all sorts of things like helmets or stuff from pop culture or movies out of cardboard and like DIY materials.
What kind of helmets? Give me an example.
Like a Star Wars helmet recently.
I understand you made a Boba Fett one, right?
Yeah.
So you can actually wear it and everything?
Yeah, I can actually.
Okay, cool. So, I mean, I guess that's the idea that, you know, we want to show people that you may have a rare disease, but look, you're a kid who has an interest and a passion in doing something, you want to be able to do it. I'm sure your brother Brandon has interests in things that he would love to be able to do if he had opportunities, right?
But it's sort of harder for him to find that, because unlike me, I can still walk around, I can still do things, I can still like make lots of friends and stuff, but Brandon doesn't really have that, so it's much, much harder for him to sort of find his thing in life.
Mm. I know that there is a United Nations resolution on addressing the challenges of persons living with a rare disease and their families, and that was adopted last year. So you've already talked about the kinds of challenges that you and your family and Brandon face. But, you know, if we're looking at this resolution, which is like this huge document, what does that resolution say? What does it mean for communities with rare diseases?
I think to me, it means like a lot more recognition and awareness for them. Like they really sort of need to be seen for who they are. They can't sort of just be seen as like sick people or people with like something wrong. They need to be seen as sort of people. They need like the same rights and the same sort of accessibility as everyone else does.
So what kinds of actions or changes would you like to see from different parts of society around you that would give you those rights and those access?
Like, for example, in like Brandon's sort of case, he's stuck in a wheelchair and whatever. Malaysia has this law where it says there should be like an accessible ramp for everywhere and every single building. But if you don't do it, so what? You know, so there should be sort of be like an actual law or rule where people should always have a sort of ramp or a way for people like Brandon to get around.
Have you come across places where you guys wanted to bring Brandon there, but he simply couldn't because there wasn't something as basic as a ramp?
Yeah, like several places, like let's say parks or a lot of outdoor places, even some malls or some places where he really wants to go, but he can't just simply because there's stairs. And it's not as easy as just like carrying him out because his wheelchair weighs like really heavy.
What are your thoughts about your own future? And what does it mean to you to live a quote-unquote normal life with a rare condition?
As I said, in my case, my rare condition isn't as challenging as like someone like Brandon or other people who have a much worse rare disease. I can still sort of lead a normal life, as people would say. Like I can go get a job, I can make friends. But in Brandon's case, how is he going to do that? He won't be able to drive. He won't be able to go out. My parents can't be there to help hold his hand for as long as he lives. Because my parents are getting older. He's getting bigger and stronger. So it's hard.
And so then when it comes to looking beyond just your immediate family, what people with rare diseases need is lots of people in society, right, to be part of your support system.
Yeah, who are willing to help or willing to sort of give their a helping hand.
Do you have a final message, Jaden, to share for Rare Disease Day?
People shouldn't sort of look down on people with rare diseases. They should treat them as a normal person. We don't really need people to like, oh, I pity you so much. What can I do to help? Oh, like that. We just need to be treated as like normal people, as anyone would be. Obviously, we need like more, slightly more help than other people. Like Brandon needs help, like taking stuff or getting things. But he shouldn't be treated as like a charity case or someone to like look down upon.
Thank you so much, Jaden. I've been speaking to Jaden Lim in conjunction with our two-part Rare Disease Day special. If you missed any part of today's show, or if you missed yesterday's first part, you can download the podcast by searching for Rare Disease Day on our website, bfm.my, or on our BFM app. You've been listening to Health and Living on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.